this morning I'm excited about what we're being teaching about, and honestly, when that happens, I'm like, you know what? God, are you sure Miss Birchfield can't be a preacher? I was like, just this once. But thank you so much for coming this morning. And wow, how about that? Paper clipped the wrong paper. Good to go now. But I've really been enjoying the study in James. I hope you have been as well. The book of James is just an awesome book because I believe it allows us to confront ourselves with the lives that we are living in it. And really, the book of James makes us take a look at our lives and say, okay, does my life echo what James is saying? He has so many just good points and ways for practical living. And honestly, it's fun to study James because it seems like James is just like a normal guy. He just takes examples and he relates what he's teaching to the common day people. And it's just been a fun, just a really, really fun study. Last week we finished up chapter number 2, talking about balancing faith and works. And I apologize again, I don't have any visuals on the screen this week. I didn't have time to make those. But this morning in chapter number 3, we're going to be talking about, James picks right up in chapter number 3, talking about the dangers of the tongue. And if I had to balance the message this morning, it would be balancing our tongue. And it's actually got a really, really good twist at the end of what that means to balance your tongue. So this morning, I want to read a couple of verses and really just kind of go over the amazing inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit gave James to write this. In James chapter number 3, let's start reading in verse number 1, and we'll read the first 12 verses. The Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to also bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, or rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brothers, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the truth that we find in your scripture every day. This morning, I just want to ask that you would help us to learn from this portion of scripture and to apply it to our life. God, please convict us. Please encourage us. And please help us to be able to live the life that we need to live, that we are called to live, so that we can reach those that are in our church and in our community for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, it's been a lot of fun. Is this on, Terry? Can it be on? Nice. You're the man. Appreciate you, bud. Like I said, it's been a lot of fun studying the book of James. And when you start out in verse chapter number 3, even the wording makes you need to study it. So let's just start out real quick by way of introduction. A few things that I want to point out in the specific wording of the scripture. Number one, verse number 1 says the wording is, "My brethren, be not many masters." That phrase, "be not many," literally translated means, "let not many of you be." And then that word "masters" is literally translated into "teachers." So James is saying, let not many of you be teachers. And at first you're like, well, why would James say let not many of you be a teacher. I mean, isn't it that you're a good thing? And yes, teachers are a very good thing. And quite honestly, teachers are some of the unsung heroes in our country today. Education is a priceless gift. But he's saying, be not many of you teachers. And then it says, knowing that we, teachers, receive the greater condemnation. And then verse number two, he talks about how the teacher, the primary tool for a teacher is the tongue. And if it's controlled, the tongue can control the whole body. So real quick, by way of introduction, I just want to kind of tackle this issue of where he says, be not many of you teachers. What he's saying is back in that time frame, what was going on is he was addressing the church at that time. And what you find when you read books like 1 Corinthians, when you read books like the book of Acts, and you really see how the church worked and operated, what you find was that many people desired to teach the word of God in the synagogue, in the homes, and stuff like that. Many people desired that, and many people actually thought that they had, or believed, they had the spiritual gift of teaching. That the teaching is one of the spiritual gifts that the Bible says that we can have, and many of them thought they had that. And what he's saying here is that if you're going to be a teacher, he's not saying don't be a teacher. He's saying you need to consider what happens when you decide to become a teacher. He says, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, what does all this have to do? What we're going to be talking about this morning is the tongue, the dangers of the tongue, and how teachers and people and just everyday circumstances when it involves the tongue and speaking and talking to people, how that impacts the world that we live in. So this morning, the point that we are reading here is that our tongue is our primary tool for living in communication. We must always be aware of this and strive to not let corrupt communication come out of our mouths. Simply, we must learn to control our tongue. We must. For three reasons. Number one, this morning, we must learn to control our tongue because teachers, specifically, are held to a higher standard. If you're taking notes this morning, the title is Balancing Our Tongue. The question is, or the statement is, we must learn to control our tongue. Why must we control, must we learn to control our tongue? Because, number one, teachers are held to a higher standard. Now, I love that he points this out because when you do some research, you see, yes, a lot of people really wanted to be teachers back in that day. And actually, when you look at the book of Acts, Jesus and Paul both show that even strangers that were traveling could come into the synagogue that day and teach the word of God. Many people wanted to be teachers, and actually, and even in 1 Corinthians 14, many people misused teaching in the word of God. He's saying that teachers will be held to a higher standard by God for what they teach. In the first two verses, James gives two warnings. Number one, yes, teachers are held to a higher standard. And number two, that as a teacher, your primary tool is the tongue. So when we're talking about a teacher being held to a higher standard, we need to look at some other verses as well. Second, and you don't have to turn there. I'll just kind of paraphrase. You can write them down in your notes. You can jot them down if you want. But 2 Peter 2, verses 3, talks about the false teachers and says that their destruction is not asleep. Their destruction is coming. Romans 6, 17 says we need to avoid two types of people. One is people who cause divisions and fissions in the church. And the other person is false teachers. He's saying don't be affiliated with those people. And then in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3, he's talking about how a generation will come that has what the Bible calls itching ears, and these people will actually look for a teacher to teach about their wants. He's saying God speaks very, very harshly against false teachers. Now, this isn't just for literal teachers, and we'll get into that too. See, teachers are held to a higher standard because false teaching is something that God absolutely does not mess around with. When you take on the responsibility of a teacher, you are now committing to teach truth. And all truth is God's truth. And when you take God's truth and you distort it or you mess it up, God officially lumps that into false teaching. And it would take so much time to get into the different kinds of false teaching that you find in the world. I don't know, many probably names come to mind when you think of televangelists and people who are famous and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to false teaching, we've got to be aware of, one, are we teaching it? And two, are we believing it? Because teachers are held to a higher standard. Now, before we get into the tongue and what all James says about that, we need to understand that as a human body, or as a church body, we need to get to the point where we are actively studying for ourselves as well. When it comes to teaching and what we learn and the truth that we know, we talked about it a little bit this morning in our Sunday school class. You know, sometimes a false teaching may not be something that you realize is a false teaching. Maybe a false teaching may be something that you learn growing up, and it's just like a saying or a proverb or something like that that you heard that's absolutely not biblical, and stuff like that can lead to destruction. We even talked about some ramifications of false teaching in the church. We know, we've talked about in years past, how false teaching can literally crumble a church's ministry. How when churches major on things that the Bible does not major on, people do not get the nutrition biblically that they need. And a lot of times people go unreached because of false teaching. When you elevate certain preferences above the Bible, that's a false teaching. When you shun someone because of some innate quality they have, that's a false teaching. When you tell someone, yes, Jesus loves you, God loves you, but you're going to have to do this, or you're going to have to always, no, that's false teaching. There are so many false teachings out there today, and we've got to be on the lookout for them in our study, in our personal lives. But the first thing he talks about is that teachers are held to a higher standard, because you take that upon yourself. But what I don't want you guys to miss is that he's not just talking to people who teach in a church. He's not just talking to people who teach in a school. You see, you can't just take this one verse and apply it and say, okay, that's all the Bible says about that, because it's not. You see, a teacher is anyone who John Maxwell, he wrote an amazing book called The 21 Laws of Leadership. He says, a teacher is anyone who has a sphere of influence. And everyone at some point in your life, you will have a sphere of influence. I think one of the most obvious ones are parents. The day you have a child is the day you become a teacher. Now, he talks about false teachings and all that kind of stuff, but you need to realize that what you say and what you do is what you're teaching your child. Or even if you're a coworker, especially if you're a coworker and you're an outspoken Christian, how you act and what you say is a teaching. Anyone that you influence, anyone that you talk to, anyone that you invest in, anyone that you spend time talking to, you are a teacher of. And he's saying you'll be held accountable for how you speak to those people. Now, before we move any further, we get into the book, the part of James where James really talks very harshly about using your tongue in the wrong way. He talks about how it can set a fire, how it can destroy, and how the tongue can be used for awful things. And as we're reading this, I want everyone to know that no one's perfect when it comes to the way you use your tongue. Verse 8 even says, the tongue can no man tame. But the first thing he says is that think about your sphere of influence. Who do you influence? As a teacher, who do you influence? Is it your kids? Is it your coworkers? Is it even family members? Who is it that you're influencing in teaching? One of my favorite quotes is, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. A lot of what you teach is the way you act and the way that you portray yourself to be. So, why is it so important to balance and control our tongue? One, because you are a teacher, and teachers are held to a higher standard. But then secondly, the tongue is more powerful than you realize. I love the book of James because as a preacher and as a pastor and as someone who does what I do, you learn in college and all that kind of stuff when you're learning about how to study and how to create sermons, they teach you this little thing called an illustration. They say, as you're teaching, you're going to have to take something that they can relate to and relate it to that, much like what Jesus did. Jesus used parables and stories to relate heavenly things to human people. What I love about James is that James does that for me. James says that the tongue, even though it is a small member of the body,
It's kind of like the rudder on a ship. Anybody ever seen a cruise ship? Anybody ever been on a cruise ship? Best week of your life, right? I'm just kidding. No. If you've ever seen a cruise ship, it's literally one of the most intimidating things to look up at. I have a picture somewhere of me and my sister in front of a cruise ship, and I mean, it's standing up, and it's taller than this building. A cruise ship is kind of like you take a skyscraper and lay it down and then float it across a body of water. That's a cruise ship. It is enormous. And as enormous as that is, think about what controls it. There's a man. I picture him with really big forearms and a pipe. Just kidding. Seriously. And he's up in the control room turning a little wheel. That entire skyscraper on its side boat is being controlled by some dude behind a big shiny wheel. And what's controlling it is a little rudder in the back. He's saying that's what the tongue is like. And then he says the tongue is even like a fire. You read with me again, starting in verse 5, he says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire hath kindled. In the verse number 5, that word matter is actually better translated forest or the woods. He's saying, behold, how great a forest a little fire can set ablaze. He's saying a little fire. I know that where we live, that we've got firefighters. I know Charles Bryson and Cody Kluwer, they're really involved in that. And they can tell you it doesn't take much for a fire to break out. It doesn't take much. He's saying that just as the tongue is a little flame, he says it can set fields on fire. He's saying, look, I know it's a little thing, but don't deceive yourself. It's powerful. The tongue is more powerful than you realize. He compares the tongue to bits in a horse's mouth, to rudder on a ship, to fire in the forest, and then even fire among people. James is saying you need to realize how powerful your words are. Your words carry so much weight. He even says that there are things in this world, beasts and animals that can be tamed. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but from what I believe, the most dangerous bear you can ever encounter is not a grizzly bear or a black bear. It's a polar bear, from what I believe. And they say that polar bears will absolutely rip your face off. It's just how it is. And there's a video online right now of a guy who's got a pet polar bear, and it's huge. He swims with him. He cuddles with him. I mean, it's the cutest, awesome video you've ever seen. James is saying there are beasts in the world that can be tamed, but the tongue cannot be tamed. He's saying a tongue can destroy someone's reputation overnight. A tongue can take something that has no truth behind it and spark and just fields go up in fire. And honestly, and this is just reading a little further into it, I think our church and our town can kind of attest to that. When I was interviewing here, they were talking about how, yeah, you know, you're from Charlotte, you're from a big city. Have you considered that Bryson City is a little smaller of a town? I was like, yeah, I'm fine with that. And one of the points that everyone told me was that the two main things about a small town is that we don't have a Walmart and everyone knows everybody. And I was like, what? I was like, well, that's true. Well, what they mean by everyone knows everybody is everyone really, really knows everybody. And I was like, wow, did not realize that. And yes, it's funny, and that's something you need to know, but think about this. How dangerous could it be to one person in a town this size when one rumor or when one false accusation takes spark? Think about that. Almost overnight, in today's day and age, you've got social media, you've got phones, you've got texting, all kinds of stuff. Overnight, someone's reputation can be just tarnished. And it happens all the time. There have been great men and women of God who I won't say any of their names, but they're famous. And I think if I would have said the name, that almost everyone would know them. But even in the past few years, men of God who got caught up in a false accusation, they did nothing to deserve it. It's a false accusation. But because of that little spark in that fire, that man, that teacher, or whoever it is, has a can tied around their leg for the rest of their life. And it's never going to go anywhere because of some false accusation that just kind of started a spark. James is saying, look, you've got to understand how powerful your tongue is. And at the same time, I mean, yes, the tongue is more powerful than you realize. The tongue can be used to build up. The tongue can be used to proclaim the gospel. This morning in our Sunday school class, someone had a very good point. They said, think about how strong the tongue is. How was the world created? God spoke the world into existence. The tongue can do amazing, amazing things with your words, can change someone's life. I was driving home from Nashville yesterday, and I heard about a man who started a company called To Write Love on Her Arms. And because of what he did, he was a sales rep for a big company, and he just happened to meet a hurting woman one day. Him and his wife took that woman in and cared for her and said, you know what? We feel that God wants us to start a company just caring for people. And now today, he left his multi-million dollar job and he travels around the world speaking and telling women, who is an audience that is not well reached, and says, look, you can get help. You don't have to be ashamed of what's happened. That companies like that exist. Why? Because we understand that the tongue is stronger than you realize. But just as much good that can be done with your mouth, a lot worse can be done with it too. Like I said, this isn't a theological discussion. This is simply a practical. Your tongue and your mouth can do a lot of damage. A lot of damage. And growing up, like I said, I grew up in a good church. But some of the things that you don't get taught is that, you know, redemption and love is there. And you hear a lot of people saying, well, the kind of preaching I want to hear is this, and rip my face off and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, no, where did you see Jesus doing that? Jesus talks about speaking the truth in love. He even puts an emphasis on, when you speak the truth, do it in love. There is so much emphasis on what people say and how important that is. Why is it so important to balance your tongue? Because your mouth is a lot stronger than you realize it is. So number one, teachers are held to a higher standard. Number two, the tongue is more powerful than you realize. But then three, and here's kind of where it keeps with the theme. The theme of James is a balanced faith. And what I love in these few verses is it says this. Starting in verse number 8, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Skip down a few verses. He's talking about how the same fountain can't produce bitter and sweet water. Todd, what's he saying? Why is it so important to watch our tongues? Because number three, it can't be balanced. You see, whenever we've been talking about balancing in the past few weeks, we'll take this and we'll take that, and we'll put it on a balance, and we'll say we need to be balanced in what we do. But what he's saying here is that you cannot balance blessing and cursing. You can't do it. The only way to balance it is to completely get rid of the cursing, of the bitter water. He's saying the only way to balance your tongue is to have the same thing on it at all times, and that it's blessing, edification, all that stuff. He's saying that sweet water and bitter water can't come out of the same fountain. He even takes it a step further. He says, think about what you're doing. You bless God with your mouth, and then you turn right around with the same mouth that blessed God, and you curse people. And I love that he put in there that word, it's kind of hard to pronounce, the similitude of God. I love that he throws that in there, because he's saying, you're cursing. Not only are you blessing God, but you're turning around and cursing something that God made. God made people in the image of his likeness. Each son and daughter of God is a different individual masterpiece of God that God loves, that God took the time to form and to shape and to breathe life into. And God loves that individual with a love more deep and intimate than we've ever been loved before. God loves the individual, and then we turn around and we curse that person. He's saying, you need to realize exactly what you're doing. Not only are you cursing people with the same mouth that you bless God with, but you're cursing something that God loves. And just like anyone in here who's ever created anything, like artists, probably one of the worst things for an artist to hear is that their piece of art isn't good. And that's the same thing with God. God made us. He's not saying get along. He's not saying, you know, I mean, he's not saying you have to agree on every single thing. He's saying love each other and just watch what you say. And there's so many verses in the Bible to back that up, but he's giving a very clear instruction and warning. He's saying, if you want to be a teacher, that's all well and good. But you've got to understand that your tongue is a lot stronger and more powerful than you realize. People have been brought to Jesus by someone's word they spoke. But in the same way, people have ran from church, have ran from God, have completely left the faith because of careless words. Saying, the only way to balance the tongue is to get rid completely of the cursing, of the bitter water, of all the junk that can come out of our mouth. Why is it so important to tame our tongue? Why is it so important to watch what we say? Because we will be held accountable for what we do. We will be held to a higher standard. Our tongue is a lot more stronger than we realize, and you can't balance it with curses and blessings. Before we close, in conclusion, what you see here is not a picture of some unattainable goal. What I love is that James does not say, look, now that you're saved, if you ever talk about anybody ever again, then you've ruined your life. No. I love that he threw verse 8 in there because he says, no man can tame the tongue. So he's not saying that we have to strive for perfection. He's not saying that if you slip up at work and you get mad at someone and you go off or you pop off at someone or you lose your temper. He's not saying that if you do that, then your life is over. No, he's saying that just that's not the fact that perfection is not attainable is not an excuse to not strive for it. He's saying we've got to work. We've got to be diligent about how we speak and about how we talk because you are representing God Almighty. I love it when Ms. Birchfield gets up and talks because almost every time she emphasizes the most important thing that our church is here for. And our church is not here to sit up on top of a hill and look pretty. Our church is not here to say, hey, look at all the cool kind of stuff we do. Look at our new lights. Look at all of our... No, our church is here to be a beacon of hope for people in our community. And he's saying it's really hard to be a beacon of hope when we go into our community and we speak of things that we don't know everything about. It's hard to be a beacon of hope when we go into our community and even speak as though we don't have that hope inside of us. He's saying it's hard to be a light and a beacon and a place of hope for a community that's dying and lost and going to hell when we do not conduct ourselves in the way that we should. People need what we have. And you never know who's listening. You never know. You might run into a stranger and you might be talking about who knows what. God forbid you talk bad about someone and then say, oh, I go to Victory Baptist Church. Guess where they're not going to come. We have to be mindful about the words that we speak because people are looking for that light. I love the Bible where it says that people are searching for any kind of light. They're searching for it. And when they understand that there is a Christian and there is a church who can take people and their past and their wrongs and their sins and their indifferences and their apathy and people that can walk in that door unsaved and hurting and just full of guilt, that people know that they can walk in this door and we're not going to turn around and talk about them, they will come to this church and they will seek that hope. But who is going to go somewhere where the reputation is they just talk about people? Again, I'm not talking about this church specifically. There isn't something that made me want to preach this. The reason I'm preaching this is because it came next in the Bible. What I'm saying is we need to evaluate ourselves as Victory Baptist Church. Are we doing our job reaching the lost with how we act, with how we speak? We'll say this and we'll close. When I was a teenager, one of the hardest things for me to fathom was inviting someone to church. I couldn't even, you know, begin to imagine what that would look like in my own personal life. But what you come to realize is that speaking and talking is literally every time you speak to someone, it is a chance to do one of two things. It is a chance to build and encourage and strengthen, or a chance to tear down and hurt. When we live our life with the understanding that every encounter we make, every person we meet, every eye contact we make is a chance to show Jesus to the world, we'll be more mindful of the things that we say. I love that James talks about this because, again, this isn't something that can be perfected. It was a problem then, and it's a problem now. But something that our community can look at our church and say, wow, you know what? That's something I look up to, is a church that can understand how important it is to not speak in a way that we should. Again, he's not talking about perfection. He's talking about everyday growth. Live your life as though you understand people are looking for any source of light. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the book of James and for the wisdom it gives. I want to thank you for a book that is really a teaching and a reflection book. Thank you for the amazing different little helps and guidelines it gives us. God, I know this isn't an earth-shattering, groundbreaking, deep theological message. I know that this is even a message most of the time geared toward younger crowds in a junior church setting. But God, please help us as adults to not be so naive to think that only kids need this kind of message. God, if there's anyone in here this morning that you've convicted or that you've spoken to, God, please help that heart change to happen in their lives this morning. Help them to know that, yes, it's wrong, but you love us and you give forgiveness unending. And that we can find that forgiveness. But God, help us to change this morning if that's something that we're dealing with. If we are people that just make it a lifestyle or a habit to talk about people, help us to repent of that. And even a step further, help us to change and to go forth and build people up. Help us to look for opportunities to speak life into someone. Help us to educate. Help us to encourage. Help us to be the people we need to be by using the most powerful instrument we have. Please help us to speak life into people. As they play, you do business with God.